Oh, this is one of the sessions that we are continuing with on flourishing. And in our last session, our focus has been Psalms 92, verse number 14. They shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. They, referring to those who are planted in the house of God, shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. That's in verse 13. And in our previous session, we spoke about how old age should not make us redundant in our service to God. Caleb was 85 years old when he took possession of that which was promised to him. And many other examples in the Bible of people that were advanced in age, but full of days. And it's so important to know that it's not just about long life, but it's also to number or to weigh your days and to live a life that is full. We also spoke about some of the fruit that we need to bear in our lives. So I want to continue with that from last week. And as verse 14 says, you shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The three F's that are in the verse is fruitful, fresh, and flourishing. So fruitfulness, excuse me, talks of productivity, freshness talks of vitality, and flourishing speaks of fertility. So when we are planted in the house of God, we start to see the abundant life of God being expressed through our lives. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When you talk about abundant life, you're talking about a life that is superior in quantity and superior in quality. It is one of superabundance, one of preeminence. And such a life is only possible when we are connected to the body of Christ. Remember, I shared with you last week how the body of Christ is a life-giving organism. If you want to experience abundant life, you have to be connected to the body of Christ. You have to abide in the vine. You have to abide in his word. You have to abide in me. In me is head and body. So when we abide in the body, we start to flourish, we start to be fresh, and we also start to be fruitful. Now, whenever the body comes together, the Bible declares, there God commands a blessing, as Psalms 133 highlights for us, and it's called life forevermore, or abundant life. And it is so important for us to understand that our productivity, our vitality, and our fertility is connected to us being joined to the body. Many people do not know how important it is to stay connected to the body of Christ. A lot of people do not understand the importance of being joined to the body. I cannot emphasize this, or should I say emphasize its importance to being connected to the body of Christ. It is a life-giving source. Too often people think they can live independent lives. They can just watch church online, or they can follow something on Facebook, or they can watch God TV or watch Faith TV or watch TBN and think that their Christian life can be impacted by that. And yes, there will be good preaching, there will be good principles that you would learn, but God has never designed for us to fellowship with him in that way. We have always been designed to be connected to a family. The church is a family. And as you remain connected to a family, you would find that there's a supply of strength that comes to you, a supply of the life of God that comes to you. So your productivity, your vitality, your fertility is deeply connected to being part of a family and being part of the body of Christ. Now, as mentioned last week, I want to talk to you about Joseph as an example of productivity, vitality, and fertility. Before his death, his father Israel called all his sons and he prophesied over them. The Bible will tell you Jacob gathered his sons, but Israel spoke over them. When you see the formation of Israel from, or should I say the formation from Jacob to Israel, Israel went through many things to be formed into a patriarchal father that could speak over his sons. And he was formed for that one purpose, so that he could identify the destiny of his sons. When you look at what Jacob went through, being in Laban's house for 20 years, having his sons become murderers, seeing his daughter being raped, many other calamities that he went through in his life. But in his old age, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, Jacob I have created, but Israel I have formed. The formation process from Jacob to Israel took him many, many years. But it prepared him for this one very influential moment in his life where he could speak and impart to his sons. And this is what he does in Genesis chapter 49. And this is where we find his words over his son Joseph. So Genesis 49 verse 22 to verse 26. Please bear with me as I just read it so that we can get the context. He says to Joseph, Joseph is a fruitful bough, by a well, and his branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the mighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, and blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, and they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Now, the name Joseph means to add or to increase. And when you talk about addition or increase, it is deeply connected to being fruitful. When Joseph was born, it was a time where Jacob was under the control of Laban. And as you know, he had married Laban's two daughters, Leah and Rachel. So when Joseph was born, something very significant happened in the life of Jacob. I'll read it in Genesis 30, verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place, to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. It was the birth of Joseph that activated the migration, the departure from the house of Laban. So Joseph, which means to add or to increase, and understand this very important thing, that when Joseph was born, Jacob came to a conclusion that he cannot function under a Laban system anymore. It was a system of deep control. It was a system that kept Jacob in bondage. It was a system of abuse. And Jacob went through many things while he was in the house of Laban. His wages was changed 10 times, and he was really not acknowledged for the good that he was doing for Laban, much like the system of the world, which is a controlling system, a system that keeps you in slavery and keeps you in bondage. But you see, the Joseph in us is now Christ Jesus. He is the vine inside of us. And when Christ Jesus is born in us, you will find that as you grow in Christ, you will need to function in a different way from the Labanic system of this world. The Joseph in us wants us to separate from the systems of this world. The kingdoms of this world are different from the kingdom of God, and how we operate in this world is different. But for you to be productive, for you to be fruitful, for you to be fertile, vital, have vitality in this world, it is the Joseph in us, the Christ in us, that helps us to understand that we are separate from this world. Now, the systems of this world can make you very successful, can give you prosperity, can give you good success, so to speak. But it will come at a cost. It will come at a cost of working 7 days a week. It will come at a cost of working 15-hour days. It will come at a cost of your family. It will come sometimes at the cost of your marriage. It will come at the cost of not knowing your children and not being able to grow with them. Yes, you will have the car and you will have the house and you will wear the branded clothing so that everyone can be impressed by the image of Babylon. But understand that the Labanic system controls, abuses, and manipulates us and enslaves us. Yet it will make you prosperous. So we must understand, as sons of God, prosperity is not just materialism. We must prosper as our soul prospers. We prosper body, soul, and spirit. But oftentimes, in the pursuit of those things that we call success, it comes at the cost of our health. It comes at the cost of our marriage. It comes at the cost of our mental well-being. How often you find people ending up depressed, ending up divorced, ending up with rebellious children, having no peace in their lives. Yet they have successful businesses. They have all the money that they could spend. And they try to appease the consciousness by buying gifts, going on expensive holidays, and doing all that kind of stuff to appease the mind and to appease the way we are. But it's a Labanic system of control that does not want you to have your own household and your own family. But Joseph was born. The one who adds and the one who increases, the one who causes fruitfulness in our lives. We are born again. We are born of the Spirit. We are born of Christ. When we are born again, we must come to the place of realizing that there is a time where we separate ourselves from the Labanic way of thinking. We have to adopt a different mindset, and it's the kingdom way of thinking. This will affect your values. It will affect your morals. It will affect your ethics. It will affect your way of life. It's called a manner of life. This is why the early church was called the people of the way. It was a totally different way of life. It was not the ordinary way of life. The early church sold all their possessions, brought it and laid it at the feet of the apostles for distribution. That in itself would have been regarded as control, or people that are brainwashed. But you see, they understood how important it is to live as a community, to have the spirit of communism amongst them, when no one was in need. Even Barnabas sold his tract of land took his inheritance, placed it at the feet of the apostles. Now, that would have been a very drastic thing to do, but it was evident that their way of life was different from the system that people commonly operated by. So know that our value system, our operating system, is different from the world. And in it is productivity, vitality, and fertility. So that's the first thing you need to know about Joseph, that it causes us to add or to increase, but most importantly, it will change your way of thinking. If you want to be fruitful in life in the context of the kingdom of God, the Joseph in you has to be born. If you want to have the kind of success that God has destined for you, and it is a preeminent, abundant life. It's different from the life that is in this world. If you want that life, listen to the word of God today that tells us that our fruitfulness cannot be outside of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdoms of this world will give you what you want because you bow down to it, even as the devil promised Jesus Christ. But as sons of God, we have a higher source. We have a different way of living, a different standard by which we live. So that's the first thing. The second thing in Genesis 49 verse 22, this is what he said of Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, B-O-U-G-H. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now, when you look at the word bough, you have to read it in its original Hebrew meaning. And when he spoke these words over him, when he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, the word bough in the Hebrew is the word ben, and it's simply the word son. So if you read what Israel is saying over Joseph, he basically said, Joseph is a fruitful son. That's what he said. Now, what makes us fruitful? This is what the whole subject is about that we are talking, that we are discussing today. If you want to be fruitful, and in this case, Joseph is a fruitful bough, it's talking about being a fruitful son. And Joseph became a fruitful son because he had a relationship with Jacob, his father. Remember that Jacob made a very special coat for Joseph that became his covering. It was the coat of many colors. And Jacob made this coat for his son. And basically, it was the covering for his son. That coat of many colors also speaks of the diversity of grace. It speaks of us being a rainbow of different colors. And it speaks of the different gifts and the different graces that are in the body of Christ, but that is conferred by a father to his son. Now, if you want to be fruitful, you must develop sonship qualities that make us fruitful in life. Our abundant fruitfulness is determined by our pursuit as sons. We must receive the spirit of sonship by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, you see, before you sort of had some level of success, we cried out to God. We spent time reading his word. We fasted. We prayed. And then God answered your prayer. And he started to bless you and make you fruitful. And when that happens, you're so busy enjoying the fruits of your prayers and the fruits of your labors, that we forget to maintain our sonship with God as Abba Father. You see, for consistency in fruit, which I will call fruit that remains, you have to have a consistent relationship with God your Father. This means a life that is dedicated to pursuing God the Father. How do we do that? We do that like Jesus did. He would spend time in prayer. He would spend time alone with God the Father. He will pray all night so that he could commune with God the Father. The fruitfulness of ministry for Jesus Christ on the earth was determined by this very intimate relationship that he had with Abba Father. And I want to encourage you that if you want to be productive in life, you need to maintain this dedicated life to God your Father, to spending time with him, to reading his word, to communicating with him, so that your spirit is calling out, Father, Father. To maintain this longing and this desire, like the deer pants for the water. So your soul longs for God, the living God. And I'm encouraging you that you need to maintain that kind of sonship relationship with God, your Father. Maintain an intimate relationship with him. Draw near to him. Too often, when we start to get busy in life, we forget the fundamentals of our faith, which is intimacy with God. Having a strong prayer life. Most of the time, the prayers that we make is based on our needs. It's based on the things that we want God to do for us. It is not just with communication with God. To talk to him as our Father. As we move into the festive period, people will be too busy celebrating. Late nights, spending time with family. And yes, it's all good. Well, I hope when we have a family meeting in SA one of these days that all your festive plans are not thrown out of the door by the president. So, but whatever gatherings you're going to have, I just want to urge you for a few minutes, and I speak to you as the father of your household. Don't let these things take away your intimate relationship with God. Maintain every single day, when I say every single day, as far as possible, spend time with God your Father, because it determines your fruitfulness. Don't spend time just complaining, just grumbling, just moaning, just asking for stuff, just wanting things. Don't you think God knows what you have need of before you ask him? He's your Father. He knows. There are bigger matters. Like, God, I need your wisdom, as Solomon prayed. Like, God, how can I be a blessing to someone? Like, God, make me a good steward of the resources that you've given to me. Like, God, renew my mind so that I don't get overwhelmed. Many other things that we can talk to God about, rather than just saying, God, I need this, and God, I need that, and God, can you get rid of my neighbor because he's so irritating? Or God, can you get rid of this family member who's so annoying? And God, can you see how they're treating me? Please stop that self-righteous act with God. There are bigger things in this life. And when we communicate with God, do you think Jesus had time to complain about the Pharisees and the scribes? No, he was too busy doing the work of the ministry. And there were many that started to follow him because he was preaching the kingdom of God. Let your life be epistles read by men, letters read by men. And it comes out of deep relationship with God, your father, speaking to him, communicating with him, spending time with him, reading the word. Sometimes you have to read a scripture 50 times to understand what it means. You have to keep saying to the Holy Spirit, I do not know what this means. Please explain it to me. You have to read it again and again and again. And all of that is about being in deep relationship with God, your Father. If you want to be a fruitful son, a fruitful bough, you have to have a deep, intimate relationship with God, your Father. Now, while we have this relationship with God, our Father, God also gives us fathers in the faith so that we can become fruitful sons. Look at Solomon, who became so fruitful. Look at Elisha, that became so fruitful. Look at Timothy, Titus, Epaphroditus, Onesimus. All of them became fruitful and productive because of their deep connectivity to fathers in the faith. Look at the life of Ruth in terms of a connectivity to Naomi. That is why even the woman said of Ruth in Ruth 4 verse 15, 14 rather, then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be able be a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, Ruth, your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Basically, she gave birth to Obed by a relationship with Boaz. And this is the lineage through which Jesus comes. That was a fruitful bough. Now, when you look at the life of Ruth, who was a widow, she moved from the barley harvest to the wheat harvest. She moved from one ephah to six ephahs. She moved from being a widow to a wife. She moved from working in the field to owning the field through inheritance. All of that is about productivity. And why? Because she followed the instructions of Naomi and she saw productivity, vitality, and fertility in her life. You see, your productivity is so deeply connected to your sonship. And how you maintain your relationship on the earth and also your relationship in the heavens. It's so vital to know that. And when you maintain that relationship, yes, your relationship will be tested. It will go through a time of challenges. It would go through persecutions. You would go through some difficult times. When Peter drew close to the Lord, Jesus said to him, Peter, Satan has desired you. And he wants to sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you. I've seen many relationships go through that, where there's a sifting of wheat. There's a shaking that takes place in their lives so that there's a separation of wheat and tares. And after that shaking takes place, you got to go in a sieve and again you got to be shaken. And then there's the blowing that takes place by the Holy Spirit where all the chaff is blown out of your life. So you go through a blowing, you go through a shaking, you go through a sifting, just because God wants to see you become a fruitful bough, fruitful son. And when you join yourself to a father, many times you will face that shaking. Oftentimes people when go through that shaking, they drift away, they stay away, they go into depression. They start rethinking, why did I ever join this person? From the day I joined this person, I'm only having perils in my life. From the day I joined this person, everything is going wrong. No, it's part of the shaking. It's part of the testing as to whether you want to remain in covenant. Just like when you get married. When you get married, or before you get married, it's so nice. You feel so good. It's so lovely. You got all those nice feelings inside of you. You got bubbles and you got clouds and you got hearts and you got all of that, and then you get married, and then you find there's needles that poke the bubbles, and there's things that bust the balloons. And the chocolate that you once enjoyed, you don't enjoy anymore, because wedding is for a day, but marriage is for a lifetime. And then it starts. The covenant starts getting tested. So in the same way, when you enter spiritual relationships, the covenant will be tested. Sometimes you'll face financial ruin. Sometimes you'll have marital problems. Your car will break down. You'll be mentally drained. You'll get demons visiting you. All kinds of crazy things will happen in your life. Ask me, I'll tell you. I've been on a more than 20-year journey of sonship. I've been through many, many things in my life. I had demons visiting me, principalities of cities sitting on me while I was in hotel rooms, coming to destroy our lives. Why does that happen? It's a test of your sonship. You have to be faithful. It is only when you go through that, it's called a pruning, cleaning process, that the branch starts bearing fruit again. Starts bearing fruit again. Don't lose out on your productivity when you run away when the Lord is disciplining you. Don't make a disconnection at the time when you need to remain connected, because it's a pruning process for productivity. Stay connected. Just like Ruth, she went through a challenging time, but she stayed connected. Now, be a fruitful bough. But the Bible says he was a fruitful bough, listen carefully, by a well. A fruitful bough by a well. Genesis 49, verse number 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. Now, the word well means, actually in the Hebrew, it means your eye. It can also mean a spring or a fountain. But this Hebrew word is used about the aperture or the source of the eye. It is used to signify our physical organ of sight, which is the eye. Now, in Proverbs 33 verse 18, the Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on all those who fear him." It's the same word for well. "To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So what does it mean to be a fruitful bough by a well? To be a fruitful bough by a well. So to be a fruitful son, to be a fruitful son, there's the connectivity, there's the joining to God the Father, there's the joining to your father in the faith. But to be a fruitful bough or to be a fruitful son, you must have a good eye. And this is very important. Joshua and Caleb, when they saw the land of Canaan, they saw it as a good land and a fruitful land. Everyone else saw the giants, but they were focused on the fruitfulness of the land. What does that tell you? They had a good eye. What did everyone see when they saw Goliath? They saw a giant. But what did David see? He saw an uncircumcised Philistine. That means he had a good eye. He was able to perceive something. So important, if you want to be fruitful, you must have a good eye. Okay? Lot saw the well-watered land of Sodom and decided to move his family there. He took his entire family there. But he saw with the eye of his soul and ended up in a place where his righteous soul became vexed. As the Bible will tell us, that righteous Lot was vexed by the evil that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and eventually he had to be rescued. Why? Because he lacked perception and discernment. So, to be a fruitful bough, perception and discernment is a vital component. If you want to be a fruitful son, you want to be a son of productivity, of vitality, of fertility, you have to have good perception and discernment. Elimelech left Bethlehem to go to Moab because of the time of famine, and all his sons died. He lacked foresight because he allowed the famine to determine his movements. So he left Bethlehem and he went to Moab, and eventually all the heads of the house died. Gehazi lacked perception when he took the gifts from Naaman. He could have received the mantle of Elisha, but he chose the gifts of Naaman. So important. When a son can lose out on productivity because he went for gifts and not for mantles. I hope you're listening to me very carefully. Too often people run after gift-centered ministries. They run after the gifts of the Spirit. They run after emotionalism and soulish things. They run after things that are built on Babylonian technology. But they don't know how to run after the mantle of a father. Mantles must be imparted to you. And Gehazi lacked the perception, he lacked the foresight, he lacked insight about how he could receive the mantle of Elisha. So you see, you cannot be fruitful if you don't have perception and discernment. It's so vital to have that capacity in your life. Achan lacked perception when he touched the accursed thing in Joshua chapter 7. And his actions led to the delay of an entire nation. You see, sometimes our selfish ambitions and our soulish desires affect several people around us because of the lack of perception and the lack of discernment. And if you want to be a fruitful son, you need a good eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Matthew chapter 6. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, the Bible says, then your body will be full of light. What does that mean? The word lamp also refers to the spirit. The spirit of a man is a lamp of God. So when you say the lamp of the body is the eye, what does your spirit see? Not what does your soul see? And if you see with the spirit, then your whole body will be full of light. One of the things I have a gift in is to see things. Sometimes it comes through impression. Sometimes the Lord will show me things. And oftentimes I try not to open my mouth, because most times it comes to pass. Sometimes when I talk to people and I say to them and I ask them questions and I say to them, just tell me the truth. Don't lie to me. Just tell me the truth. And oftentimes they find it very difficult to do that. And in time, they get exposed. But long before we speak to them, we often know. Why? Because we train our eye. We train our spiritual eye to see things by the Spirit. So I'm not, when I'm listening to a preacher, I'm not just listening to his message, his good words and all that he put in the package. I'm trying to see him with the eye of the Spirit as to what God wants to communicate to us. That is why Jesus, when he spoke to the multitudes about John the Baptist, he asked them clearly, he said, what did you go into the wilderness to see? Did you go to see a reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? Did you go to see a man clothed with soft garments? Did you go out to see a prophet? What did you go out to see? He asked them. And he says, he's more than a prophet. He said to them, I say to you, born among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Because the people were seeing John because he was wearing different kind of clothing and because he was eating locusts. But they could not perceive him as a prophet of God. So important to have a good eye. If you want to be fruitful, train your eye. The aperture of your eye is able to capture the right image. The aperture is a photography term. It's part of the lens of a camera that is able to actually capture and process the image. In the same way, your spirit can be trained to see things. capture it and process the image correctly. When you see people, how do you see them? People get they get duped, they get taken for a ride, they get seduced because they are unable to see. They become victims of the systems of this world because of the lack of sight. So we must be located near a well or have the ability to see, to have foresight, to have perception. The Shunammite woman was able to perceive together with her husband that Elisha was a holy man of God. They built an upper room for him and grace came into their lives and barrenness was broken. Abigail perceived that David was the king of Israel and she became his wife. The centurion perceived the authority of Jesus. That's why he said, just say the word only and my servant would be healed. If you want to be fruitful, you must have sight to perceive and to discern. I tell you, in this world, you must have discernment. You can end up making millions of rands of mistakes if you lack perception, if you don't have discernment. It's so vital for us to develop our eye, to have the eye of the Spirit. That is why we have to wash our eye with eyesalve. This is why we have to wash in the pool of Siloam. This is why we have to throw off our beggarly garments as blind Bartimaeus did so that you can receive sight. It's so important that the eye of your spirit becomes alive to discernment and perception. And I pray this morning that your fruitfulness in life will be determined by the fact that you are a fruitful son by a well. Jesus sat by a well, you know that, in the book of John chapter 4. And the well that he sat at was the well that was given as an inheritance from Jacob to Joseph. That well was located in a place called Shechem. And when the Samaritan woman came there, she was undiscerning. That's why Jesus said to her, if you know who you are speaking to, he is able to give you waters where you will never thirst again. She was undiscerning. And she was undiscerning because of her life. She has had many husbands. The Bible tells us she had five husbands, and the one whom she was with was the sixth man in her life, and Jesus was there, but she could not discern him. She had been looking for covenantal relationships all her life and never found it, never settled with it. She was coming to the well at a time when no one comes to collect water because it's the heat of the day, it's 12 during the day. No one collects water at that time. But she saw a man who could tell her everything that happened in her life. She was unable to perceive him. But eventually, when her eyes opened, she became the broadcaster in the city, and the whole city came to listen to what Jesus was saying. Look at her fruitfulness and her productivity the moment her eye was open. You need sight in your life. Be a fruitful bough. May the Lord open our eyes to see as he wants us to see. And I pray that even in life in general, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to business ventures, when it comes to your work, when it comes to buying and selling, whatever you are involved in, may your eye be open to have perception and discernment, that you will not be seduced, you will not be abused, you will not be taken for granted. The Lord will preserve and protect you because of perception and discernment. So, I didn't get to cover much today, but the three main things is sonship, And as a son, you must be located by a well. And when you are located by a well, the Lord will open your eye so that you are able to perceive and to discern. Please join us again next week as we continue with this series. Amen.